Okay, we're starting the top of Men Gimel and Aleph by the Mishnah. Mafkid ma'ot etzel shulchanei. Someone who gives over his money to a money changer to watch on his behalf. Im tzuririm lo yishtemesh behem. If they are tied up, then he doesn't. The shulchanei has no permission to use them. Lefikach. Im abdu eino chaya b'achriyutan. If they get lost, he's not chaya b'achriyutan because he remains basically a shomer chinam, since he has no benefit from the money that he is watching. Therefore, he won't be chayav or responsible for them if they get lost. Now, mutarin, on the other hand, if he gets the money free, and that it's in change, not tied up, then he's able, then ishtamesh ben. Then the indication from the Baalim is that they have no need to have these coins, and they know he's a shulchani, they know that's what his job is, that's what he does with money. So they're basically permitting him to use the money in the interim while he's holding it for them. Mechikach, imavdu, chayav achriyutan. So now he's no longer a shomer chinam, rather a shoel, and that he's borrowing the money, and he's using the money, and therefore will be chayav im baveda. It's a balabait. If he gives the money over to a balabait, ben tzuririm, ben mutarin, whether they're tied up or they're free coins, lo yishtamesh ben, he can't use them at all, because that's not the expectation. Yeah, versus a shulchani, whose profession is to work with the money and to use the money, then you would have an expectation if you gave him money that is changed, loose change, that he'd use it. Those that the balabayit, you don't expect him to use the money no matter what. In all cases, he's a shomer chinam. Chenvani, question about a storekeeper, is kibalabayit, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, chenvani kishulchani. And chenvani is somewhat poseach al shnei sipim. He's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. He is like a balabayit in the sense that he's not professionally moving with money and changing money. On the other hand, he always is in need of change. He's always in need of exchanging items and change with people, so therefore he doesn't need money. Does Machlos Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda? Is he more like a shulchani or is he more like a balabait? So now the Gemara says, Mishum did tzoririm lo yishtamesh behem. What type of indication is the fact that the money is wrapped up or tied up about the fact that what indication does that does the shomer have or does the shulchani have from that you don't want him to use the coins? So Amar Ravasi and Rabbi Yehuda tzoririm bechatumim. It's not simply that they're tied up or the chatumim, but they're also signed or sealed. The wrapping of these coins, and therefore that's an indication that somebody doesn't want you to open it up. As Rashi points out, everybody ties up their coins, everybody wraps up their coins. There's nothing unique about the fact that you wrap them up. Now, if they're sealed, then already that's an indication you don't want them to touch them. So, Rav Mari Amar Bekesh Mishunah. So he says that it was an unusual knot that he made with it, which again we saw possibly as a siman. That's Yigadamre Boi Rav Mari. That not that he made a statement, rather he asked the question, Kesh Mishunah, ma? What's the din with the Kesher Mishunah take, but we don't know what the din is. It might, again, relate to what we saw earlier in the Masechta, whether Kesher is a Siman or not. And number two is that over here, even if you say Kesher is a Siman, in this instance, is that enough of an indication that you don't want to use it? Because the Kesher that you made on it is because everybody ties their coins up, and you tied it up like you normally tie it up. Not maybe necessarily an indication you don't want to use it. And Mutarim, Ishtamesh Ben. If they're loose change, loose coins, then you can use them. I'm Ravuna of Filo Nansum. Even if there's Ones here, right? So even if there's Ones, again, it's an indication that he has qualified like a Shoel. Maha Abduktani. What about our Mishnah says that they got lost? Now, if you believe that Ones is also Chayav, then the bigger Chiddush to mention the Mishnah is that even Nansu, that you're responsible for them. On the other hand, if you believe that right, it's only he's only Chayav like the Shema Sachar, then you should say Abdu makes sense because Shkineben Aveda Shema Sefer Sky for, but not Ones. So when it says Kinder Rabo, we've seen Rabo a number of times. Dam Rabo Nignevu Belistim Izuyin Abdu Shetavos Fina Tobiyam. You can create a case of Aveda which is Ones. Right, that Aveda here is not necessarily the classic Aveda that we have by Kineben Aveda Shema Sefer and Shema Chinam. Rather, Aveda here is the Aveda of a Shoel, Aveda of Ones. Which is what? That you have Gneva, which is armed robbers, which is a form of Gneva bonus. And Aveda is here, that is the boat sunk, his ship sunk in the middle of the ocean. That's also a form of Onus. So over here, according to Rav Nachma, according to Rav Huna, then he is a Shoel. Now Rav Nachman Amar, Nensulo? No. If they're Nenas, no. So Amalei Rav, or the Rav Nachman, the Dach, Amar Nensulo. So you're indicating to me that he's not a Shoel. Ishoel lohavi, Shomer Sachar lami lohavi. Because Rav Nachman is at least of the opinion that the individual in the Mishnah is a Shomer Sachar, at minimum. So he says, listen, if he's not a Shoel, then how is he a Shomer Sachar? There's only one way to become either of them, which is to get Hano, or get benefit from the item. The fact that you get benefit from the item would make you a Shomer Sachar. And Rav Huna's point is, once he already is getting benefit from the item, how does a Shulchani get benefit from the item? He actually uses it. He's already using it, then he's a Shoel. So you can't have it. You're trying to have your cake and eat it too, which is you want him to be a Shomer Sachar because he's getting Hano, but you don't want him to be a Shoel. But if he's getting an already, he's already skipped the step of Shomer Sachar, he's a Shoel. He says, no, I agree to you on this point that he is a Shomer Sachar. Because you think he is, I say he starts a Shomer Chinam every point to everybody, but then if he uses them, then he jumps to a Shoel. But he says, here I agree to you that he's only a Shomer Sachar. Because he gets benefit, he then gives benefit. Now why? So we said before, there's only two possibilities. One is he's watching it, or he's using it. So now, what Rav Nachman really says is there is another stage. Another stage is when he has the money before he's used it. When he has the money before he used it, then he is nene. How is he nene? Because it's ravile zvina. If something comes to his hands that he can buy quickly or he has some opportunity, that he can make a profit, zavim behu. He'll use this money to use it. So havalei shomer sachar. Therefore, he's a shomer sachar. So even though he's not using the coins yet, the fact that he has the ability to use the coins does give him hana. It makes him feel like I have liquid assets. I have something to spend them. If something comes, an opportunity comes, I can spend it. That means other money that I have, I can use in my business. And I can change it and give up that money because I have this in the back. You know, in the back of my head, I have this money that can sit, allow me to make an investment that comes up suddenly. So because of that, that hana, he's mehaneh, gives him a shomer sachar. He's not a shoel because he hasn't used it. He hasn't used it yet. It's only another that he possibly will use it. So I'll be the machlokas over here. Machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna relates to before the shoel, before the shulchani uses the money. Everybody agrees once the shulchani has used the money that he is classified like a shoel because there's kol nashelo. Kol nashelo, then he has a din of a shoel and v'chayev min otzin. The only question here is before he actually uses the money, what is his status? That's the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rav Huna believes beforehand he is just like a shoel, because the actual she'ilah begins immediately upon receiving the money. The fact that you don't use it yet, that does not necessarily not make you into a shoel. We saw that earlier, in Baba Kama, when does she'ilah actually begin? Right. So it sounds like once you borrow it right away, then the she'ilah begins. It was machlokas about dvarim sheish ben chiseron, im ben chiseron, but generally she'ilah starts right away, so it's the same thing here. Nachman comes along and says, no, there are different stages for the Shulchani. There's a Shomer Chinam stage, there is a Shomer Sachar stage, and the Shoel stage, because there is this interim stage where he's not getting all the benefit, but he's getting some benefit. That stage will be a Shomer Sachar, not a Shoel. Hey, Rav Nachman the Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman challenges Rav Huna's position that he is a Shoel immediately. Someone leaves money by a Shulchani. This isn't just anybody. This happens to be the Gizbar of Hekdesh. Gizbar of Hekdesh leaves money with a Shulchani. Now, the Gizbar of Hekdesh thought it was his own money, and it turns out that it was Hekdesh money. So he, by accident, gave Hekdesh money to the Shulchani. Im Zrorim, if they are wrapped up, lo yishtamish bim, shouldn't use them. And again, we would qualify that. What does it mean, wrapped up? He's wrapped up either in Bekesh Mishuneh or it's stamped, you know, with the Chatima on it, the seal. Fikach, im hotzi lo ma'al ha-gizbar. Therefore, if the Shulchani uses them, then who is Chayav Me'ila in that instance? The Shulchani. He didn't have permission to use them. He used them. He's the one who took it out of possession of Hekdesh and used it. Now, Vim Mutarin, if they are loose, Ishtamesh, Behen, then he's permitted to use them. Dipikach, Im Hotzi Mal Gizbar. Therefore, he spends them. The Gizbar is Chayav in the Me'ila, because who's the one who caused the whole problem here? Well, of course, the whole problem is the Gizbar who gave it to the Shulchani is loose change. That means once he gave it to the Shulchani, it should leave his possession. Now, what do you see here? If you see that, even if they're a Nenas, from the moment he becomes a Shoel, that he's Chayav, Mayir Yahovzi, why does he actually have to spend the money? Why does he have to spend the money in order for the Me'ila to come into place here? Even if he doesn't spend the money, right, it would be the case that if he is Chayav and Unzin right away, that means that the Gizbar had the money leave the possession of Hekdesh immediately. From the moment the Gizbar hands it to the Shulchani becomes Chayav and Umsin at that moment. That means it's left Hekdesh's possession. Because that means he's a Shoel at that moment. And the whole problem of Me'ila is taken out of Hekdesh's possession. That means that this Gizbar, when he handed it to the Shulchani, The moment he handed it to the Shulchan Aruch, that's left the possession of Hekdesh. He should be Chayv Emila. Why does the Mishnah say that only Hotzi, only the Shulchan Aruch uses it, does it leave the possession of the Gizbar and he becomes Chayav in Meila? That sounds like exactly what I'm saying. He's a Shomer Sachar until the moment that he spends the money. So he says, you're right. The Mishnah is not Meduyak, it would be even a Hotzi. But I did the Tana Reish Hotzi, Tana Seif and Ami Hotzi. Since the Reish comes to teach us the Chiddush, that Amachim Hotzel Shulchanim, Tzurim, Lo Yishtamesh Behem, Fikahim Hotzi, Lo Mal Gizbar. Even if the Shulchani spends them, the Gizbar is not Chayav in that case. So there, it's specifically Hotzi to teach the Chiddush, that even when he spends in the Shulchani, the Gizbar is not responsible. Then the Sefer comes and uses the term Hotzi to be parallel in structure, but not because it's exactly the case. It's not exactly Hotzi. It's even before Hotzi. As soon as he gets it, there is Mila. To keep the parallel structure, we use the term Hotzi over here. Okay, next Mishnah. Shaleach Yad Bipikadon. So this is what we discussed earlier. Shlichot Yad Bipikadon. Bet Shammai Omrim Yilake B'chaser B'yeter. Bet Shammai says that you are responsible both if the value of the item that you were shaleach b'yad went up in value or down in value, you take the worst of either situation. That means if it goes up in value, you pay the higher value now that it's appreciated to. If it goes down in value, you pay them the time as if kishat akzela. So you're beit hillel omrim kishat hotza'ah, the time that you let it go. Now that's unclear. We have to deal with that in the Gemara. What is beit hillel saying? What is kishat hotza'ah? Right now, Rabbi Akiva omer kishat tviyah. For the time that you are make the claim or you're at the din, that's when you pay for it. Samar Abba, Haiman the Gozel Chavita de Chamer Mechavre. Person steals a barrel of wine from his friend. Mikara Shav Yezuza. In the beginning, it was worth a zuz. Hashta Shav Yarba. Now it's worth 4 zuz. So when he stole it, it was worth a zuz. Now, currently, it's worth 4 zuz.
What's now?
Now it happens. Now is later on. Later on, after he's stolen it, it's worth 4 zuz. Tavra Oshatya, if he breaks the barrel, physically with his hands, he breaks it, or he drinks it, then Mishalim Arba'am, then he pays 4 zuz. Itavar Mimela, if it breaks by itself, Mishalim Zuzo, then he only pays 1 zuz. My time. Okay, ben di ita hadra lamar beina. Right, what is this story? The story of paying back kishat hagzela, or paying back kishat hashto, kidahashto, is only an issue if the item doesn't exist anymore. If the item is in existence, we say, right, so there's no question about what the value of the item is when the item is extant and you can hand it back to them, because then it's Arishal Chalafanecha. The only time it comes up is if the item doesn't exist. So in this case, when he steals the barrel of wine is still around. And until the moment he destroys the barrel of wine, or until the moment he drinks the wine, he can hand his barrel back to the Balim. So when is the moment that he really stole it? The moment that he really stole it is when he breaks the barrel, or when he drinks from the barrel, because that is the point of time where he can no longer return it to the Balim. When was that? When did he drink it? When did he break it? When it was worth 4 zuz. So it's Gzela, the point of time in which we sign him the value of the object, set the 4 zuz down. It's given to eat the Hajra, the Maravena. Hayishat, the Koshatileo, the Katavra, the Gazalmine. The moment he drinks it, the moment he steals it, that's the point in time when he steals from him. Mishnah, Kula Gazalani, Mishalim Kishat, Gzela. Right, all Gazlanim pay at the time of Zela. And when is his time of Zela? When he breaks the barrel and when he drinks it. So if Vermeimelo, on the other hand, if it breaks by itself, Mishalim Zuzza, then he pays the Zuz. My Kaima, Hashto lo avi lo avi lo mide. At this point in time, he did nothing to the barrel. It broke by itself. So my Kaima Chavitle, what's the only reason he's responsible here for the barrel? Is a Hayishat of the Gazlo. It's from the moment that he stole it. I mean, the only factor here that makes him Chayab is the moment he took it out of possession of the other owner. At that time, it was worth a zuz. Right, so that's the difference here, or between the two cases, is really, he stole it when it was worth a zuz. But, as long as it's around, and still here, right, then we say, it will continue to be possible to return it to the Balim. If it's possible to return it to the Balim, then the value is really accruing, or appreciating to the Balim themselves. Now, if he goes in and later takes another action to break it or drink it, then he'll be responsible at that moment for taking that value away from the Balim. The other hand, if it breaks by itself, he's taking no additional action that we can make him chayab for. Right? So if we can't make him chayab, the only thing we can make him chayab for is the time that he actually took it out of possession of the Balim. That was back when it was worth a zuz. And he has to pay, kishat ha-gzeila, but that would be a zuz.
The situation will reverse. If it was worth 4 zuz at the time that he took it, and then 1 zuz at the time that he broke it or drank it, So then he would only have to pay once
it's going to that? It sounds like it, right? Because he's paying, that's the Shat HaGzela. It's like the time that he spends it. We don't know what it means here. Now, my kishat otza, what does it mean? Kishat otza, ilayma kishat otza min olam, the time that it's no longer existent, ubimai. So what's the case here? Ibe chaser, if it went down in value, and then it was destroyed at that point in time, mi ikalaman damar, is there anyone who says in that case that he won't be chayv atzana, called gazanim mishalim kishat gzeila? Everybody agrees that he pays the time of gzeila, the moment that he pays. So, when there's no existence of the item anymore, in that case, you always pay kishat ha-gzeila. So nobody's going to say when it goes down in value that you pay like the current value. You have to pay like kishat ha-gzeila. The exception might be where he does it when he's the cause of the breaking or the item not being existent. We'll have to see in a minute. Maybe yet there, if it's gone up in value, hanu beit shemai. Then they're exactly like beit shemai, because that's exactly what beit shemai says. The downside is you pay kishat ha-gzeila. The upside is that you, if it goes up in value, you pay like the current value that it's gone up in value. So Beit Hillel says, Kishat Tzad Me'olam, at the time that it leaves the world, in time that it's no longer existent, if you say that it's gone down in value and now it's no longer existent, nobody says there that you pay the lower value. Everybody says you pay Kishat Zela. If it went up in value, now you say Beit Hillel says, pay the higher value, then he is exactly, it's exactly like Beit Shammai. Ella must be that Shita Kishat Tzad Me Beit Balim. Time that you stole it. That's what Beit Hillel says. So now, if that's the case, they say basically pay kishat ha-gzeila. They pay kishat ha-gzeila no matter what. If it's gone up in value or gone down in value. Right? No matter what, you have to pay kishat ha-gzeila. So lema rabo. So let's say now rabo damar ka beit shammai. Sounds like rabo's holding like beit shammai. Right? Because rabo says when it went up in value, you actually chayav for the increased value. So that sounds like exactly like beit shammai. So amalcha rabo b'yeter kulam elo pligay. Everybody agrees if it goes up in value that it accrues right to the balim. Keep lige bechaser. Now they disagree about when it's gone down in value. We just said before if it goes down in value you have to pay kishat hakzeila. Nobody disagrees with that. So no. Beit Shammai sarva shlichut yad ena tzricha chisaron. Beit Shammai says that when you do shlichut yad you do not require any loss in the item. Therefore, when you were sholeach yad. It was gzeila. That was the time of the gzeila. B'chi chaser, b'shut didei chaser. And when it goes down in value, it goes down in value in the hands of the gazlan himself. He now has the item. He's in possession of the item. When it goes down in value, it's his problem. Beit Hillel sarei shlichut yad tzricha chisaron. On the other hand, Beit Hillel thinks that you need a chisaron in order to be shliach yad. That means that until there is a chisaron, it's still in the possession of the balim. That means if it went down in value, b'chi chaser, b'shut didei chaser, and therefore it's going down in value in the possession of the original owners. Gemara says, what are you going to do now with Rava? Rava makes a statement, right, in other places, that shlichud yad ain't tzricha chisaron. So that's psak halacha of Rava. Rava believes that shlichud yad ain't tzricha chisaron. Now you're going to hear suggest the fact that Beit Shammai is holding ain't tzricha chisaron, and Beit Hillel is saying tzricha chisaron. That means that Rava holds like Beit Shammai. Leima Rava damrek Beit Shammai. We have to now set up Rava like Beit Shammai. Obviously, we don't want to do that. The case has to be here. He was carrying it not to steal it, but rather to use it in order as a ladder, a step stool to get the gozalot. Shol without permission is classified like a gazlan. That's the position of Beit Shammai. Habi. So therefore, when it goes down in value, in the possession or in the control of the gazlan himself, which is the shoel shalomidat here. Tell us, Abi shoel shalomidat is shoel. Abi, someone who borrows without permission is still just a borrower. Therefore, when it goes down in value, in the possession of the original owner. Ella, another problem, which is Rava. Ella, Adam and Rava shoel shalomidat the rabbanon gazlan he. Right, obviously we say that Rava, right, in Bava Batra sets up a machlokas, right, in a mission to Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, he sets up the position of the Chachamim as being the Shol Shalomi Dad is Gazlan here, which clearly means that Rava wants the Halacha to be Shol Shalomi Dad Gazlan here. But that's the case now, Leima Rava, Damrik Beit Shammai, you're forcing Rava to hold like Beit Shammai over here, which we don't want. Ela Ocha, B'Shevach, Shogzila, Kamiflegei. Your underlying assumption over here was mistaken. Underlying assumption in this case, or in this Gemara, was that when we talked about Yeter and Cheser, we were talking about market value increases and market value decreases. So we're talking about zol v'yeter. We're talking about the value of the object changing, not because of the item itself, but rather because of its external, the external market has changed the value of such items. That's not right. What we're talking about here is shevach of the item itself. Not anything to do with the market price, but rather the item itself has now generated profits. How is that? The increased value of the item goes or accrues to the one who was stolen from. That the Avi, the Shevach the Gzela goes to the Gazlan. Look to the Ani tonight. Same Lachos we have other Tanayim, which is Tanayim of a Brisa. Gzela to Rachel. Someone steals a you, Gazza, Vialda. Right? He then shears it, or Vialda, or then it gets pregnant and it gives birth. Mishalim Uta, Vet Gizuta, Vet Valuta, Divi Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, then Gzal gets everything. He gets the Gizot, he gets the Vlad, he gets the animal, everything. All benefits accrue to the original Balim. Vialda Omer, Gzela, Chuzer, Beinei. The Gzela goes back the way he took it. I mean that all he has to return to the Balim is what he stole from the Balim, Shatan Gzela. Any other benefit that happened afterwards, meaning the animal itself, whether it got pregnant, or whether it was sheared, and it had wool that grew on it afterwards, all of that accrues to the Gazlan, because he's Chayav, Kishata, Gzela. So Deka Nami, let us say, there's a Diuk and a Mishnah that their Machlokas actually revolves around this issue. Why? Diktani, B'chamay Omrim, Yilake, B'chaser, B'yeter. The term they used was Chaser Yeter. Which I mean, Shatul Tzash, Mamina. Term that Beit Shammai uses to describe the change in value was Chaser V'yeter. Doesn't say Zol, right? That it doesn't say got cheaper, alright? Or that it got Yakar. If you wanted to describe market value changes, you'd use the terms or the adjective Zol V'yakar. Whereas over here, he's using Yeter V'chaser, which seems to be a description of the item itself, changes in the item itself, not in its market price. And that would match with what we're trying to explain here. The Machlokes Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai revolves around the actual change in the object. Whereas when it comes to market value changes over here, it seems to be that everybody would agree that you pay Kishat HaGzela. Right? You pay Kishat HaGzela. When the Gazlan takes it, you pay Kishat HaGzela. To answer your question, Shol, before what you asked, which is, what's the story if the opposite case by Rabba, where he takes the... he has the kad that it's worth, or chavit it's worth 4 shekel, and then when he breaks it's worth a single zuz. So that'll depend on how you, the flow of this Gemara over here will determine that. Right, the Gemara at one point makes a statement, right, anything that nobody, everybody agrees when there's value deterioration, right, that you pay kishat ha-gzeila. So if you say that, then it would be kishat ha-gzeila if it goes down in value, that this is only to the benefit, right, of the nigzal, not to the gazlan. On the other hand, if you believe that that is, over here, the Gemara introduces a possibility that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai argue about even when it's chaser, even when it goes down in value. The Beit Hillel says that you do pay the lower value when it goes down in value because the Balim are still in possession of it, meaning that the Balim are still have ownership over it. That maybe even in Rabba's case, which is what Rabba was trying to do, Beit Hillel would agree with him because the deterioration in value happens in possession of the owners because the Gazlan doesn't really get it until he breaks it. Because until that point in time, you can return it to end. So if you can return it to end, it's really still the Mari Kamo. It's still in the possession of the Mari Kamo. The Gemara then rejects that explanation and moves on to Shevach, right, that comes from the object itself and not from the external market values. So once the Gemara rejects that, right, it seems less likely that Rava would hold an iteration of value that you would get it Kishat Shviat HaChavit and not at the time of Shat Gazela. Although, you could still explain that the term, that when Rechaser is Kishat Gzela, is only if it breaks or goes away by itself. Whereas if you take active action to break it or do something to it, maybe the Rabbah agrees in that case, right, that that you would say that it goes to be deterioration in value, that you would pay the lower value, not the higher value. The top Tosfos on the Zohar, he says, what you could explain, the whole problem for Rabbah is when you have active breaking of the Chavit. If you had passive, it broke by itself, even Rabba agrees that by the deterioration of that, it goes to Shat HaGzela. So why isn't Rabba just explain with Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai based on Shver Ramele, that it broke by itself? So the Tosfos says that Beit Shammai wouldn't disagree in that case. So Beit Shammai would also agree with Shver Ramele that it's a Shat HaGzela. The only question is if it's actively broken or he drinks it. That's the question, whether he has to pay the higher value at that time or not. Alright. Kibo Meir, Shat Via. The keeper has this strange position. That's the time that he comes to din. I'm Rabbi Yehudah Rav Shmuel. It's Rabbi Yehudah Shmuel. Halacha like Rabbi Akiva. Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Umoda Rabbi Akiva makum sheish edim. And Rabbi Akiva agrees in the place where there's edim that you pay kishat HaGzela, my time. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Akiva's position? Amar Kura, the pasuk says, Lasher hu lo. Yitvenu b'yom hashmato. He will give it to the person who wants to on the day that he's found guilty. Now, when's the day he's found guilty? Well, it depends how he's found guilty. If he's found guilty because he admits to stealing it, the day he finds guilty is when he's tovet, when he's in the din. That's when he becomes guilty, and therefore he pays in that day. The other hand, if they're edim, right, to the effect that he stole it, then when's the day that he's guilty? The day he's guilty is the day the edim saw him steal the item. So therefore he'll pay kashat gzela. So there we go. So therefore, we came to the edim, ma'ushatahu dechayim le'yashma. That's the point in time where he's obligated. So again, when does the person come into the fact or come into the obligation, minadin? Depends who's, how he's becoming guilty. If he's guilty through his own admission, then he only becomes responsible or chayav from the moment he admits it. The other hand, right, according to Rekiva, if the edim see it, then that obligation already stems from the fact that the edim saw it, and now they can testify, and they'll bring him to din, and they'll make him chayav. So the chiyuv derives from the edim seeing him at the time that he stole it. So Amar Leih Raboshi reviewed the Rabbi at Amerkein. So Rabbi Yoshi says to Rabbi Yehuda, did you really say this? So Shmuel, right, Rabbi Yehuda is quoting Shmuel and saying, Rabbi Kiva agrees by Edim that he paid Kishat and Zeila. Now we have a statement from Yochanan. Rabbi Kiva argues, even by Makum Sheyesh Edim, my time on Makra, the Sher Hudo, Yitzanetu, Yom Ashmato. The day that he's found guilty. When is he found guilty? The day that he becomes obligated to pay is only when he comes to Beis Din. Not when true Edim saw it. But even when Edim saw it, that's not the point that he becomes Chayav. He becomes Chayav for the Ashma when he's brought to Din. And when he's brought to Din, that's when Edim testified. The Edim's testimony is only relevant in the Din. Not beforehand. So now, Gemara says, Ashma, Malay Rabbi Zer, Rabbi Abba Bar Papi, B'chi Azla Tahatam. When you go over to Eretz Yisrael, Akif Asuma Detzur, stop by, make a little pit stop at Suma Detzur, but all the Gabay, the Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, go to Rabbi Yaakov Yidu, buy Binei, Ishmael, the Rabbi Yochanan, Aloch, Rabbi Kiva, Lain, Aloch, Rabbi Kiva. Go ask Rabbi Yaakov Yidu what the din is, by whether we pass him like Rabbi Kiva or not. Amalei, Achyam, Rabbi Yochanan, said to him, yes, this is what Rabbi Yochanan says, Aloch, Rabbi Kiva, but the Olam. Aloch, Rabbi Kiva, always, my the Olam. What does it mean, the Olam? Amar Ravashi, Shalom Tamar, Hani, Mila Yechat, Alek, Eidim. So don't say that only when there is no Eidim, about Yechat, Eik, Eidim, no. Meaning, don't say like Shmuel. Ella, has hold like Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Akiva obsesses his position even when they're Eidim. Vinami, the Hadrib Duchta, or the other possibly means, what does it mean, the Olam like Rabbi Akiva? Not only in this Mishnah, but even in the previous Mishnah. This Mishnah is discussing the machlokas of when do you pay for it, Kishat, recuses Kishat's Biyah. Previous Mishnah was machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva about whether you need that Balim. When you do a Shava, when a Shomer does a Shava of an item, do you need that Balim or not that Balim? Rabbi Shmuel says you do not need that Balim. Rabbi Akiva says you do need that Balim. So the Olam means Allah is like Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, and Allah is like Rabbi Akiva in the previous Mishnah that you need that Balim. That's what the Olam means. I'd rather who came into Rabbi Shmuel, the Marlo being in that Balim, to exclude from Rabbi Shmuel holds you don't need the Balim. Or, last thing is, Kamash Malan, the Bina Dad Balim. So there's the Kamash Malan, we also need Dad Balim. So the Olam here, explaining Rabbi Akiva, can be one of two ways. Either can come to say the law is like Rabbi Yochanan, not like Shmuel, that even by Edim, Rabbi Akiva says is Din, or Rabbi the Olam is not, Shmuel can explain it this way, is that not coming to Achuk gave me, but rather come to tell you, pass it to Rabbi Akiva, not only in this Mishnah, but in the other Mishnah, where he argues on Rabbi Shmuel about that Balim. Rabbi Omar, Allah is like Beit Hillel. Rabbi says, no, Allah is like Beit Hillel. Rabbi is a Batra, and since Rabbi is a Batra, we're going to pass him like Rabbi, that the halacha is like Beit Hillel, which is that you pay, right, Kishat HaGzela. Then you pay Kishat HaGzela, like Beit Hillel says, and even when there is Shevach of the item itself, not even external market movement of the price, but even when there is a, right, animal itself has some sort of value, but because from the Shevach HaGzela, the Gazlan takes possession of the item, therefore, from that moment forward, it's his for any benefit or detriment to the animal. Read the Mishnah, and then we'll continue with this Gemara tomorrow. Choshev v'shalach yad b'pikadon. One who thinks about being shalach yad b'pikadon, v'sham eomrim chayav. We discussed this earlier, one of the possible differences between shalichut yad and gzeila is about the fact that Beit Shammai believes that you can come into shalichut yad even just through machshava. Now, it's clear here that this doesn't mean machshava itself, because first of all, Tosfos right away jumps on it and says, "Hak machshava habidibur." He has to specifically articulate his desire to take this in front of Like others just say, listen, I want to take this, I want to steal this item. Now, what we're talking about here is Machshava is not just something that's in your mind, but rather articulation of what you want to do. And Rashi says that b'fnei edim. It's not even simply that he says it, but he's got to do it before edim. That we can't, we're not going to be mechayev a guy who just has a thought, yeah, you know, this looks like a nice thing, maybe I'll take it one day. That's not enough. He has to take something that really indicates his real intent. An indication of real intent is b'fnei edim, to articulate it. That's an indication of real intent. On the other hand, you're not chayev until you actually take it. That's the pasuk says. If he didn't take it, if that means that if he does take it, he's chayev. Only when he does take it, right? He tried to chavit and tell him in a rebit. He steals the wine of the friend. Here he's watching it. He steals the wine, but by pouring the barrel, he tips the barrel over, and that's how he gets the wine out of it. They have a nishbra, and then the barrel later breaks. And mishalem el rebit. So he's responsible for the rebit that he stole, and not for what remains in the barrel, because he never took, he never made a kinyan over the barrel. The other hand, if he lifts up the barrel in order to pour it for the revit, then benishpura, then it breaks later on, mishalom to make kula. At that point, he pays for all of it, because at that point, he also made a kinyan on the barrel. If he made a kinyan on the barrel, he's responsible not only for the wine that's inside of it, but also for the barrel that he lifted up. Okay?